Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you're continuing to press into this season of Lent and draw out all the graces the Lord has for you. It's such an important time in a church year every year for us, this season of purification, repentance, drawing close to the Lord. And we do it really under the leadership and grace and power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's in our corner. The scripture is very clear. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Lord doesn't come to condemn us. He comes to save us, and he comes to help us get serious about sin in our lives. But he does it not in a condemning way, but to say, I'm in your corner. I've come to deal with this. I've come to give you the grace through the sacraments, through the work and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And in this special season, I want you to make progress. I want you to draw near. I want you to grow in holiness. And so it's a challenging season, and that's good for us. It's good to subdue the flesh, which is very unruly. And at times, the flesh always wants to be paid attention to and to be responded to. And we want to, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, through the power of the Spirit, and that beautiful chapter where Paul says that the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And to be Christian means to be born again by water and the Spirit. To be Christian means to be walking by the Spirit and living in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be a new creation. The kingdom of God is present in us in the person of the King and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power that we receive in that grace of communing with the Holy Spirit that we have a capacity to overcome the work of the flesh in us. The sin-sick condition of our heart can actually be healed. We get a heart transplant. You know, the prophets in the Old Testament said, Jeremiah and others, that will receive a new heart. God's going to write his own law in the heart because we have stony hearts and we need to have our hearts tenderized to be able to love God and to love our neighbor, to have our loves ordered, reordered, instead of loving ourselves above all things and putting ourselves before God. We now receive the grace of the Holy Spirit to love the Father as Jesus loved the Father. Because remember, we'll see that as we make our way through Lent and some of the readings from the Gospel of John, which we'll again touch on today, which are so powerful, where the Lord's confronting the sin that's present in the religious teachers and just in the people, right? And he's describing who he is in relationship to the struggle between light and darkness. But he's going to be moving, as time goes on, right up into the Last Supper discourse, where he'll talk about the reality of what's at the core of Christianity is the grace and the gift of God's mercy working in us, again, through baptism, through the new life we've been given, through the grace of the sacraments, teaching of the church and scripture, the truth that's being revealed as we're being drawn more deeply every day to the degree that we yield ourselves to, we intentionally say yes to, we pursue it with hunger and thirst and with passion, the full life that the Lord wants to give. We press in for the fullness of the Lord's promises, and he reminds us, and the Holy Spirit has to help give us conviction of what Jesus is reminding us of, which is, as the Father loves me, so I love you. And as the Father loves Jesus, so he loves us. We're literally given power to become children of God, to enter the family of God. And that means, friends, being brought into the dynamic of the love between the Father and the Son. It's not just a theoretical thing or some highfalutin thing. It's the highest thing for sure, but it's concrete and it's real. And it was expressed to us fully in the life of Jesus. And the life that Jesus lived in deep communion with the Father, he could carry the yoke of the Father. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he could do that because he said, the Father knows what we need. We don't have to carry the weight of the world and the weight of our own sin. He comes to take it away from us. So that's part of what this season's about, is the transformation to come more deeply into what Jesus describes as abiding in him. That's just living with him every day, one day at a time, talking to him, listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit within us, chewing on his word, engaging his mission, embracing his promises, like knowing those promises, believing those promises, letting the promises fill the heart and the mind, and then also following Jesus' leadership as he deploys us in the world and our vocations and the rest. So such an important time of the year to take advantage of the grace that's here for us, and the whole body of Christ worldwide is engaged in this now as we prepare ultimately to walk the Via Dolorosa with Jesus and to celebrate his passion, death, and resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father. Today's reading of the gospel is John chapter 8, where, you know, Jesus is in the temple. He's teaching the religious leaders. He's upsetting them. He's not physically turning the tables over in these scenes, but he's definitely disrupting their lives. And he's disrupting their lives by talking to them about who he is and then revealing to them that though they are the experts of the law, they're missing the point of the law. And there's much they don't know that they think they know. And so a confrontation is ensuing, and that confrontation is going deeper and deeper. So here's chapter 8, one of my favorite passages, actually, in John. It begins here. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In our Eucharistic chapel, our parish here in Ann Arbor, Christ the King, there's a very large icon, powerful, right, hanging above the exposed Blessed Sacrament that has this very passage, and it's Jesus the Panto Creator. He's sitting holding the Word of God, and, you know, his Word is light, his Word is life. This whole theme of light and life, phos and zo, you know, the Greek, light and life is present in John. It's one of the central themes beginning in the first chapter of John. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Powerful line in the prologue. That's the first chapter, part of the first chapter of John's gospel. In him was life. Who's him? Christ, the second person of the Trinity, who came and took on human flesh, receiving that flesh from Our Lady, becoming one of us. God's divine life enters the human story. It's a mind-blowing, almost unimaginable reality. How does God save his people who are fallen, alienated, under sin and darkness, living in a land that's under the domination of Satan and his minions, a kingdom of darkness where the world, the flesh, and the devil all have power working against the human person, but also within the human person in the flesh and in the heart, in the fallen reality and nature that we have, the flesh that resists the will of God, that resists the light, that wants to live in the twilight or even in the dark. Jesus enters that world. God himself in the person of Christ enters that world. And it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, he then goes on to say, you'll have the light of life. You won't walk in darkness if you follow Jesus, if you become a follower. And so there's a connection. The light is not just, the light was turned on. You know, in the darkness, when you're in the dark, you turn on a light and phew, right, that dispels the darkness. So that's what Jesus did. And part of it is the truth that Jesus proclaims. He reveals the truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about sin, the origin of everything. He reveals it. He confirms it. And then he takes us to the depths of knowledge, of revelation that no one could come to naturally. And that's understanding that God is our Father, that God is love, that God is three persons, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this is part of the light, the truth. And then he shines his light by speaking the truth and telling he's come because the Father so loved us because we need salvation. That's light. He reads the human heart. He exposes the sin-sick condition of the human heart. But there's even more than that. There's the divine life that's in Jesus that's now united to human flesh. God has come to give us what we don't have. We don't have eternal. We don't have divine life. We don't have a life in us now. We have biological life. But that clock's ticking and it's running down. But we don't have a life that's stronger than death. We're under the power of the reign of sin and death. We've talked about many times in this program. So Jesus is speaking right to that. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm showing you where you come from, why you're here, where you're going, what your condition is, and how to find the way out of this darkness. Whoever follows me, Jesus said, will not walk in darkness. And friends, there is no other way out. There's no other way out. God is light. God's light reveals to us God's life. What does the human person need? We need new life. We don't just need more information. We need to be transformed by the power of God. That's why Jesus took on human flesh. And he swallowed up death and victory. He destroyed all the principalities and powers, all the stuff we were subject to under the power of sin and death. Jesus took it away. He dealt with it. He destroyed it on the cross. And he passed from death to life. That's the life we need. He said, as I've said many times in the program, he came to deal with the sin problem that produces the death problem. He's bringing eternal life. That's the doorway to salvation, to come into the life of God itself. Life in heaven with God is full salvation. And that's what Jesus is after. And so he's trying to help the Pharisees understand that. And they say, well, wait a minute, you testify on your own behalf, so your testimony can't be verified. So there's this law about having the testimony of two or three witnesses. And Jesus has said many times to these leaders, like, the Father has testified to you on my behalf through the signs and wonders and the works you do. And he'll say later, if you don't believe my words, at least believe the works that I do, because God the Father is testifying to me. But you don't want to. Remember, he said last week, I think it was, he said, the reason you don't believe is you don't want to come to me for life. You don't want to believe that I am indeed the light of the world that brings life. And Jesus says, if you want it, if you want the life, become my follower. Become my disciple. Learn from me. Okay, well, how do we do that? Well, he said you deny yourself first. That thing in you, that work of the flesh, that fallen dimension that insists on your own way, either to be your own God, to have your own path of salvation, to create your own path toward bliss and define religion the way you want to, define what commands ought to be followed or not, these kinds of things. Jesus said, to follow me, you have to deny all that. And then you belong to me. You're my disciple. And you learn from me. Deny yourself, take up your cross. And that's part of it. Taking up the cross is walking the narrow path that Jesus walked. And we see the life Jesus lived. He's one day received by people, the next day he's rejected. They love him and they hate him. They finally crucify him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with much grief. So we know the cost of what it will take in a fallen world that resists the kingship of God, the kingship of Christ, the commands of God, the way of God, the rule of the king. There's a powerful resistance in the earth against it, and alternatives are being created constantly and put forward by fallen human flesh colluding consciously or unconsciously with the demonic powers in the world. Jesus said, you're going to have to bear a cross because you're going to experience resistance. It's the normal Christian life. It's part of it. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and come after me. Walk in my footsteps. This is what the Pharisees are resisting, among other things, as we'll see as we go forward. So friends, in this time of Lent, let's remember what's at the core of it, to become a disciple of Jesus so that we can come fully into his life. God bless you. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.